leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Tina.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
Jerry Jeudy, baby, let's go.
Run,
Boris, run!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Hey, can I tell you something, man? When I was dropping off the little thing yesterday at your house, that was the first time I was at your house.
Right.
Whenever you get, I'm like, where is this place? Oh, okay, man. I think this is Tyler's place.
How'd you know?
Because you got a buffalo. I hope I'm not ratting you out or anything.
No. Everybody knows it's my house when you find the giant buffalo statue in the corner of the driveway in the street.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
Where did you get that?
You know, there was a Parker Country store. I forget what it was called. It actually went out of business, but it was right there off Parker Road. They had a bunch of... It's not bronze. It looks like it's bronze. It's actually aluminum. But they had a ton of those statues. And
really?
Yeah, they actually had a bigger version than the one I bought.
Yeah, I thought it was actually not that big. I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a, giant dog. Mini Ralphie. my kids go out there and they sit on it. They try to ride Ralphie. And everybody knows it's my house.
That's awesome. And you put lights on it.
I did.
That's awesome. What's bigger? The buffalo you have, the buffalo statue, or your dog, Samson?
Oh, buffalo statue.
Yeah. It is?
Although Samson's...
It's got to be close.
No, not even close.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ralphie. Ralphie, the statue, is three times as big as the dog.
Oh, is that right? Oh, gosh. All right. Yeah. Well, that's me with depth perception. Your dog, too. You know what's funny about, like... we're both human beings, I think. Yeah. You're just living like a big human being life. Oh. Like just like everything in your life is just like big.
Sure.
And I am living like a small human being life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everything we have is just small. And it's just like, well, who would have a dog the size of your dog, Samson? To me, it only makes sense that, like, big human beings would have, like, a big dog, because I'm gonna guess everything you think about in life is kind of like, the bigger, the better.
Right. That's actually the smallest dog we've ever had. We've always had English Mastiffs previously, and our Mastiffs, I had one Mastiff that was 210 pounds, I had another Mastiff that was about 195, another one that was probably 140, this one, Samson, he's probably 90 pounds-ish, but he looks twice as big because he's got that long, fluffy hair.
Well, and to me, too, because everything I like is small.
Right.
It's like...
Because you're into cats and stuff.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
And my cat's small?
Yeah.
And not only is it a cat, it's actually a pretty small cat.
Right. There we go.
I was talking to my son, who's my freshman at UNC, who's a baseball player up there. So he knows a lot of the other athletes at this point, not just on the baseball team, but because they, work out, kind of in the same area, live in the same area, that sort of thing. And in particular, he's close to the soccer team and the girls' soccer team and the girls, softball. Soccer and softball kind of mesh with the, with the baseball for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But he's a small guy. Shocker, right? Small. He's bigger than me, but he's, 5'8", that sort of deal.
Just a little guy.
So he's working out. He's got a little workout thing he's doing. And he comes home today and he goes, at the workout thing, I saw one of the softball girls. Or one of the volleyball girls. I saw one of the volleyball girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what's her name? He goes, Dad, I don't mess around with the volleyball girls.
A little bit too tall.
He goes, way too tall. Just not who we're, she's nice enough, but it's not my thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I go, is she a librero? Nope. Mm-mm. No, she was not a librero. Did I say that right?
No, you say it wrong every time.
What is
you
it?
Nailed it?
It's librero. You want to put library
R.
in there.
Librero.
Librero, because
bears be walking in the crib and everything.
Libero.
Libero. What are you laughing about? Libero?
I can't believe you
did. Because I say Librero.
Every time.
I say Librero.
It's like Risner.
It is like, it's my Risner.
Yeah.
It's my Risner? Okay. By the way, Richie, our guy, wearing, you gotta love Richie with the theme clothes, right? You gotta love him. Wearing the Michigan State throwback, Irvin Magic Johnson, really green, like ultra green shirt. Is that how their colors are? Are they that green?
Yeah, it's very ugly.
This is how they were back then in the 70s.
Because on the surface.
Although I do like Christmas trees.
It's like that. And what number is it?
33.
Well, that makes sense. Most people would assume that's a Larry Bird shirt if they didn't see the name on the back.
The first thing I asked him, what's up with wearing the Celtics jersey?
Right. You must get that all the time.
Because I only saw the back. I didn't see the front.
Yeah, it's happened once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happened today.
But he's wearing it because college basketball started.
Right.
And we got some college basketball on TV right now. And it's different. I'm seeing how they got everybody spaced out. And there's a couple people in the stands. And then there's cardboard cutouts. And look, there's cheerleaders with masks. And, you know, it's just a sign of, okay, all right. It's starting. This part is coming, Tyler, coming back. Cool, right? Like, you know. There we go.
It's good. Basketball's kind of, was the first thing to really get hit hard. We lost March Madness.
Right. Right. And I just didn't know if they would ever, I had my doubts whether they could do college basketball because you can't be in a bubble. You've got to be able to travel a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta. How would that work? But here we go. Oklahoma State against UT Arlington. They're in the second quarter. It's 40-33 Oklahoma State. And there's games that are going to be going on left and right. However, there's not going to be an NFL game with the Ravens and the Steelers on Thursday. What do you think about the NFL canceling our post-Turkey Day, you know, falling asleep at night game?
Well, I was looking forward to that matchup. That's a great matchup. Pittsburgh Steelers are playing great football right now and always enjoy watching Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens. But in the big picture, man, on Thanksgiving, I just kind of put it all into perspective here. Dude, this was such a wild card to think that we would be where we are watching the NFL the way that we have this year with such little interruption.
Yeah.
I mean, we have seriously hardly had any interruption. We had to reschedule a couple games. The Broncos were a part of it.
Yeah.
And I understand teams have been hit here and there. But for this to really be kind of the first big one that pops up, and it's unfortunate that it's on Thanksgiving, and it's unfortunate that it was a marquee matchup like that. But, I mean, in all sincerity, on Thanksgiving Day, it's a good day to look back on and feel pretty thankful that we've had a very normal year of football.
Yeah, and that game's been moved to Sunday, so it's not even been, like, canceled completely yet or postponed. We'll see, though, right? We'll see how that goes. And,
yeah,
and
that one doesn't feel good to me, but we'll see.
Yeah, I know. And like, what?
I mean, they got a problem going on out there in Baltimore right now,
right? And what now would you do if that game has to be canceled? And after this week, there's only 5 weeks of the season left. Now, what do you do? What do you do?
I don't know.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't know. I don't have the answers. I think you find a way, some way, somehow. You got to try to find a way to get a game like that played.
A pretty important game, don't you think?
Yeah, heck yeah.
6-4 against 10-0.
Right.
This is going to be a big test for the NFL because you just don't have. Where's the wiggle room? Where is it? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to postpone the playoffs for a week so you could get a game in?
Well, I think that would be very easy to do if it had to come down to it. I think that option's always been on the table. They just haven't publicly acknowledged it because they don't want to do that.
I mean, I'm guessing the Ravens and Steelers, Tyler, have already had their bye week. That's a guess on my part.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I know that it's been important in the NFL that they don't move the Super Bowl, although I don't think you even have to move the Super Bowl. You could just get rid of the bye week before the Super Bowl, and you could have one extra week that is built in there. And even if you truly had to move it, if everything went to hell in a handbasket and you needed more time, so what? You could easily do that.
Well, you could. You are right how remarkable overall things have gone. And every team's been impacted by it one way or the other. But they're finding ways. Do you think this game will be? Do you think they're going to have a hard time having this game on Sunday? Ravens Steelers.
It feels that way. It does. But at the same time, I look at what the NFL has done, and they've proven that they're going to play games. They're going to find a way to play games.
Right.
And, you know, if they have to quarantine a few guys, they'll quarantine a few guys. But as long as they've got enough functioning bodies and they feel like the outbreak is contained, they will find a way to play the game. So, listen, I don't know. This is expert territory that is beyond me, but my gut tells me the NFL will do everything in their power to play this game.
Okay, we'll keep our eyes on it. We do have a $100 gift certificate for Old Chicago that we will give away sometime this hour. Those are my great friends at OC. I'm pumped to be able to give that away. So that will happen sometime, so just keep listening. John Elway, let's hear from the boss, right? He was on the Broncos website, of course. And let's catch up with John Elway. He says he's been talking with Drew Locke to help him fight through all the bad times.
You know, I think that's one of the bright things that Drew has done is he's very resilient and he's continued to bounce back. And you know, you're going to go through growing pains, especially as a young quarterback. He had the 5 starts last year and then started early for us and then got banged up and missed a couple starts and you know, came back in. So, you know, Phil, I think we're excited about what we've seen. Obviously, the consistency hasn't been there where we wanted it to be. But, you know, you look at everything that's gone on for us this year. I think that they've hung in there and done a heck of a job. No offseason with a new, you know, new off.
All right, let me just pause it there. Because Drew Locke had a press conference later today. He said, well, I'm glad John Elway said nice things about me. But I was hoping that, you know, we wouldn't have to talk about, you know, having so much determination to come back from things. We can talk about being successful in the first quarter, in the first half,
yep,
that sort of thing. So when you hear John Elway talk about inconsistencies with Drew Locke, what do you think he's specifically referring to?
Oh, it's not hard. I mean, you see this team get themselves in a hole week after week after week. That's just what we do. Including last week against Miami Dolphins, we tossed the early interception and all of a sudden we were in a hole and we found a way to climb out from underneath it. Drew had a 2 or 3 week run there where he was just absolute garbage in the first 3 quarters. And then he turned it on in the 4th quarter and he tried to make the game competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's referring to. It's not a secret, and it's incredibly frustrating as a play caller, as a head coach, when you've got a quarterback that has got the ability to turn it on in the 4th quarter, but for whatever reason, puts you in a hole in the first few quarters.
Here's more from Elway about Locke.
Defensive staff, you know, a lot of young guys playing, no preseason games. So, you know, everything's been kind of a little bit against us, but I think that these guys have not let that affect them, and they've continued to work their tail off and, you know, keep their nose to the grindstone and continue to work hard week in, week out. Obviously, we haven't been as consistent as we'd like to have been, but, you know, we'll continue to work on that. And I think, like you said, last week's game, we still had a couple mistakes in there, but we continued to fight, and, you know, it was a very productive day for us as a football team. Defense played well, special teams was good, and then offensively we were able to put some points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, if they kick the field goal, don't get stopped at 4th and 1, if, you know, Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble the ball on the goal line, you got 10 more points there if you're the Broncos. You had a pretty spectacular day overall. I mean, came down to Fitzpatrick throwing an interception to Justin Simmons, but, you know, there were some pretty bright spots there, and at the end of the day, you did win. I want to play this next one for you about how he talks to Drew and how he communicates with him.
Yeah, you know, I've had some good talks with Drew, and, you know, I'm excited about him. And, you know, I think that he's got the right mentality because he wants to be great. And I think he'll continue to work on that. But obviously, when you're going through it as a young quarterback, you're going to see a lot of different things, a lot of different looks. So, you know, defensive coordinators know when they got a young quarterback and try to confuse them. And so I think that he's done a heck of a job going through that. Every snap he takes this year, Phil, he's going to continue to get better, and it's just going to help him in the future.
He's talking to Phil Milani from DenverBroncos.com. How many general managers do you think sit down and chit-chat with the quarterback?
Well, Not many. You know, a lot of people ask me what it was like working for John Elway and how involved was he? You know, was he out there at the practice field? Was he giving speeches to the team at halftime? No, he wasn't. I mean, he would be out there at every practice and he would be hovering from a distance. He would be watching. He would kind of come up when the coach was giving a speech at the end of practice. He would listen. Never once, in my tenure of playing for him, did he ever address the team. Never happened. And matter of fact, in my entire career, I never once had a single GM address the football team. So to have a GM be involved with the day-to-day operations of what's going on in the actual football field is not really, that's not really cool. That's not really acceptable because you try to have a separation there of upstairs versus the coaching staff, right? And John Elway, I think, did a good job of recognizing that I am the GM, but I also have a unique skill set. And I also did something pretty well in this game.
No doubt.
And I might be able to help out a few guys here and there. And so John Elway did do something that was a little bit different. I did have GMs come into the locker room after the game. And they would listen to the speech, but they weren't a part of anything outside of just observing.
Mm-hmm.
John Elway, after every game, would walk down into the locker room, and he would be waiting for the quarterback at the quarterback's locker. And he would sit there, and he would have a, not a long, but 5-10 minute conversation with the quarterback after every single game.
He did that with Peyton Manning?
He would do that with Peyton Manning. He would do that with Brock Osweiler. He did that with everyone.
Okay.
And that's just part of his deal. I know that he's done that with Drew Lock as well.
Mm.
I don't think that John Elway is overly involved throughout the week,
mm-hmm.
but I think he takes that little moment after the game to just kind of digest things and ask him, what did you see? And maybe give his opinion here or there. I don't know what those conversations look like, but I do know that after the games, he does have a conversation with the quarterbacks.
What do you think about that?
I think it's cool. I think it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, John Elway is John Elway. And why would you not want John Elway to communicate with your quarterbacks?
I think about that all the time with him. As critical as we've been about things as a GM and different moves, that's all like John Elway, the GM. And I'll stand by my, you know, John Elway's the Tim Tebow of GMs. You want to say he's good? There's plenty of proof. You want to say he's terrible? There's plenty of proof. I get it. But when it comes to John Elway, the quarterback, or John Elway, the leader, or John Elway, the football player, hey man, he's John F. Elway.
Right.
He's John Elway.
Right.
I never forget about that, by the way, despite whatever we might say about John or that sort of thing and how tough we've been. I never forget that is John Elway. And there is always something when you're around John Elway that reminds you, damn, that's John Elway.
Yeah, darn right. You're darn right. And I think for a younger quarterback like Drew Lock to have a resource like John Elway is great. And I don't think that John oversteps his bounds. I don't think he's in there talking X's and O's, or is he trying to communicate what he should be doing in the next game. He's just an ear. He's just listening. And from what I could observe, and I was far away. I was not listening to anything. I was not involved in any of the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like it was like, after the game, offensive linemen, we congregate and we sit in our little group and we sit there for 45 minutes before we ever move.
You guys are so slow.
Well, and what
it
are we
is
doing?
A herd of turtles after the game.
What are we doing? We are discussing every single play that happened during that game because it's nice to have a peer to discuss what happened. And you're complaining about the bad stuff and every now and then you pat a guy on the back for the good stuff. And I think that's what John Elway's being to the quarterbacks because quarterbacks don't really have anybody like that to sit there and talk to.
Right. I think it's awesome. As long as it all works, and I don't know why it wouldn't work, I think it's fantastic. I think it's great to know that. I didn't even realize that till you said it. I think that's a cool way to use who you are as an effective method. And I also love to hear too that, you know, he's on your side. He is on your side. He's not out to get you. He wants it to work out for his own reasons, mm-hmm. and he's not butting in. He's not, you know, in some sort of meeting room or taken over from, well, Mike Shula, who's the quarterback coach right now. He's just there as a sounding board, somebody that you can. And I heard Drew earlier saying with COVID, it's obviously a little trickier, but there's phone calls and text messages and that sort of thing. I think that's fantastic, you know, because we were wondering, like, who is going to believe in Drew when he's having a hard time?
Yeah.
Like, who is that guy that he can go to just be like, hey, man, it's all right. It's cool. You know, who can he go to? I think that's pretty awesome that one of those guys could be John Elway. I think that's good. I think that's a good sign and good news. And obviously, I would, for a lot of GM reasons, John Elway should, and I'm guessing really does want Drew Lock to work out.
Oh, heck yeah, he does, man. I mean, this is John Elway's legacy. John Elway might not get another opportunity to select a quarterback. I mean, this is what it all comes down to. This is the last hurrah.
All right, let me play a little bit more of John. And this is here tipping his cap to Coach Fangio and staff.
Well, there's been so many different schedule changes and everything that's gone on. And a lot of different protocols have been put in place all the time. So, you know, I think Vic's done a tremendous job. He's been very flexible with everything. And, you know, obviously coaches, and especially if you've been in the league as long as Vic have, you kind of get settled on a schedule and what you're used to. And this has been totally upside down from what we're used to and what he's used to. So, you know, I'm proud of Vic, and I think the growth that he's shown as a head coach, how he's handled the football team and kept all the players focused on what we're doing with everything that's going on outside the building, I think he's done a tremendous job.
Agree? Disagree?
I mean, agree. I don't know what I'm agreeing or disagreeing to other than...
Coach Fangio has done a tremendous job in organizing things through this... I guess that's what he's saying through the hard times that we.
Well, what I've respected about Vic Fangio is anytime there was a schedule change, this isn't something that we can complain about, fellas. This isn't it. Like, we've got bigger problems. We just got to come back to work, and we just continue to go about our business. You know, every coach I had would harp on travel and all the adversity that you come about during traveling. And it sounds silly. It sounds dumb. But there is always a hiccup in travel, whether it's a delay from the airplane, you're waiting on a part.
Something happens.
You know, the flight takes too long. Mm. The bus, you get caught in traffic. Whatever it might be, there's always adversity, and almost every coach I've ever been around would harp on that adversity, and we just got to roll, man. Whether we show up on time for meetings or not, we start our meetings when we get there. I mean, I wouldn't have any way to really know whether Vic Fangio is doing a great job of that without being in that building, but from outside looking in, sure, I think he's doing fine.
And the Broncos jump on the momentum that they have now with the Saints coming to town without Drew Brees, with Taysom Hill. We've both looked at some tape. I heard Stokely. Stokely was great earlier, breaking things down. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to dig into it as well. We'll have Mike and Mark on the War Room today. How cool is that? Courtesy of Brothers Barbecue. We have a $100 gift card to give away to Old Chicago. And we have a water cooler that includes Vic Fangio with a snappy comeback and a quarterback carousel. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Keep listening. You could have a chance to win that $100 gift certificate from Old Chicago. It's coming. I promise it's coming. Not right now, but it's coming soon. I got a bunch of little stuff here, Tyler. Let's start off with some just Broncos news. The Broncos have activated Mark Barron from injured reserve. How about that? Kind of forgot that dude was on the team.
New number. Who dis?
Mark Barron?
Yeah, I know. I know who Mark Barron is. Thank you very much. I remember when we signed him during training
injured
camp.
Injured twice.
And I remember that we never got to see him play. It was crazy.
Right.
He was supposed to be a huge part of what we were doing defensively this year.
you happy with Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson overall?
You know, actually, I mean, specifically Jewell. You know, it's funny you bring up Josie Jewell. He was one of my bigger concerns going into this season. Just going back a couple seasons, the way that he had just been absolutely roasted in the passing game. And I'll never forget when we went out, we were playing the Chargers, and Josie Jewell just got toasted by Antonio Gates. And Antonio Gates was 125 years old and could run like a 6'4", 40, and was just destroying this guy. And so, you know, when Mark Barron goes down, we cut Todd Davis, we're relying big time on Josie Jewell this year. I did not feel great about that situation. And Josie Jewell has not quite been a Garrett Bowles type of turnaround, but has been a very pleasant, steady Eddie player for us.
Okay, well, that's cool. That's just coming out. I don't know if you caught this. The Rockies traded Jeff Hoffman and another player, and I'll tell you who the other player is. They picked up Jameson Hanna and Robert Stevenson. Couldn't tell you anything about them. This is a deal with the Reds. But another player in this trade is Case Williams. Does that name ring a bell to you? If no, Case, no.
I don't think so.
He's the kid from Douglas County High School that was drafted.
Oh, we had him on the show?
We had him on the show. But maybe I'm bringing this to your attention. He's a local kid who was drafted by his hometown team.
Right.
And before he even, remember I was like, how is he even like playing baseball now? Because the minor league season got canceled. There was nothing going on.
Yeah, we were asking him if he was going to consider going to college, because if you're not going straight into the big leagues, it's a tough year to go try to play minor league baseball and develop.
There was no way to do it. He was committed to Santa Clara. He turned that down. And it almost felt just a little weird, because the story, obviously, which you know, man, would you know all about, right? You go from your hometown to the hometown pro team. And I sent Case a little bit of a note. I sent him a note today. I said, hey, listen, this has happened. And a lot of the pros that I talk to say it's just not that big of a deal. It might sting a little bit, but I'm sure you'll be great. And go get them, that sort of thing. And he responded, hey, I appreciate it. Everything's cool. You know, no problem. Well, what do you think about that whole thing, about playing for professionally for your hometown team? Is there almost kind of an element of like some positive thing about just sort of being away a little bit and trying to figure it out on your own?
Well, I think there's more pros of being in the hometown than there are cons, but there were cons. And, you know, when things are going poorly, it's really tough. When you're not playing good baseball, good football, whatever it is, it's tough to be in your hometown. Everybody knows you. Everybody in the stands knows your name, and everybody knows how to get a hold of you, and people are asking things of you, and they think you get free tickets.
Right,
and
right.
Sure, there's a lot of stuff that can be tough, but I mean, the overwhelming majority of it is
more positive.
Definitely.
So for Dalton and Phillip, at the end of the day, it's more positive than negative.
Absolutely. I mean, This is what you dream of. I seriously, over the course of my career, I don't know if I played with anybody that got to play in their hometown like I did, outside of Eric Parris.
Right.
I was here with the Denver Broncos. I didn't play with Joel Dreesen. He got to do it. But, you know, there were a handful of guys here. Not many people get to do it, man.
Joel really loved playing for the Texans, though. I remember talking to Joel. It was, you know, enough time had gone by where I'm not going to say it was a negative, but it was, he liked Texas.
Sure.
What can I tell you? Reasonably so. All right. Well, we wish, Case Williams the best, and Jeff Hoffman, we'll see you down the line. Okay. Vic Fangio was asked by Ryan O'Halloran of the Denver Post. He asked Vic about Garrett Bowles, and he said, I'm sorry for beating a dead horse. And then he asked about Bowles' turnaround, and here's what Fangio said.
Well, you should keep beating that dead horse, because you were beating it when it was the other way around. So, but I think the key.
Wow.
I see you, coach. I see you.
Wow. Dang. Take that. Wow.
Well, you should keep beating that dead horse, because you were beating it when it was the other way around. So,
Wow.
That's assault, brother.
What do you think of that? I mean, I'll play the rest of it here.
No, that's cool, man. I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way with Garrett Bowles, and a lot of people are having some fun calling out all the analysts, myself, Mark Schlereth, Orlando Franklin, and, you know, how critical we were. As a matter of fact, I had somebody today. I tweeted out something about Garrett this morning. I think I retweeted Troy Rang's article, and I just said that Garrett Bowles continues to be the feel-good story of 2020 for the Denver Broncos. And somebody responds back, and they're like, oh, I know how much that killed you to say that. I'm like, no, like, no. I've been complimenting him all year long. I've been read my timeline. I mean, I've been talking about this guy all year long. I am happy to be talking about sure. Garrett Bowles in a positive light. Like, oh, no, but look, you trashed him so much in the past. Listen, he was terrible the last 3 years.
Oh, right.
He was terrible.
Right.
I mean,
what are we supposed to say?
Right.
I mean...
GB's on.
Well, you should keep beating that dead horse because you were beating when
GB's was on.
Around. So, but I think the key to his turnaround is just persistence, both on his part and our part. You know, both Mike and Coop and myself have had faith in him. We've stayed with him.
True.
We've talked to him regularly.
That's true.
We all have a good relationship with him. He had a great off season. He stuck to it. Didn't let the outside noise, which at times was appropriate, you know, stop his determination to keep improving. And I think he's finally being rewarded for that approach.
I mean, he had a great offseason, right?
Yeah, here's the tweet. Somebody says, I've been listening to the radio for the last 3 years, and you've absolutely killed Garrett Bowles in this organization for playing him. When you have strong opinions, sometimes they come back to bite you. Really? Really? Because Garrett Bowles was not playing terrible football the last 3 years. Listen, he's playing unbelievable, and we are all on the hype train right now. Everybody, you of all people, are leading the charge of let's pay this man. Let's give this guy a ton of money.
Well, you know, I'm more like franchise him or okay. Make him a below market offer, and if he can't get it done, franchise him.
Yeah.
I'm more like that.
But I mean, I think it's cool for the coach to stand up. There's a lot of people that are doing it. Listen, you think Philip Lindsay's going out of his way to talk about Garrett Bowles playing at a Pro Bowl level for no reason? No, everybody is aware of the criticism that Garrett was going through because everybody had to talk about it.
Yeah, and I think that's why you got...
Well, you should keep beating that dead horse because you were beating it when it was the other way around.
That's a direct reaction to the criticism that was... That's what we were hearing from Garrett's teammates defending him to the degree where it was almost like too much. Like, you really shouldn't have to defend somebody like this much. I mean,
right.
You know.
Right.
All right, last one really quick, Richie. Can you blow the whistle there? Starting for your Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
No clue what number he is. Brandon Allen.
Oh!
Formerly of the Denver Broncos.
I love it. Allentown, baby.
Just hang in there, Tyler. You hang in there enough.
That's right.
You keep getting your opportunities.
You know, he might become anointed. He might take over for Joe Burrow. Who knows?
Who knows? But he has another opportunity. And he was great in his first game with the Broncos. Second game, not as good. And by his third game, we realized this is a total disaster. And they got rid of him. But we wish him the best. And somebody in Cincinnati can ask about the fans burning his truck in college. Congratulations, Brandon Allen. But the restlessness was handed down, and it's getting very hard to
stand. It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, makes the handoff, looking to throw. Running out to his left, looking downfield. He's going to tuck it and run at the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Taysom Hill!
Why would we be playing a Taysom Hill highlight? Well, I'll explain. Joining us is Nate Jackson from everywhere, from on the air and... from hip-hop legends to online to the Denver Post. I mean, he's everywhere. Courtesy of the Dadvocates. And I found out something very interesting about Nate Jackson. He was Taysom Hill, Tyler, before Taysom Hill.
Oh, is that right?
But he was never fully utilized in the professional ranks. However, in college, Nate Jackson kind of did it all. And, Nate, maybe you can tell the story about what you did. Again, you've told it before, but you can say it again about when you played at Menlo, when you played down in San Diego.
Yeah, so we played the University of San Diego. Menlo is a D3 school, and San Diego is a 1AA school. And that year I was our kicker because we showed up in a camp. We had two or three kickers, and they were all pretty bad, man. And I had a background playing soccer my whole life, and so I know how to kick the ball. So I ended up kicking better than those guys in training camp. So I was our kicker that year.
Nice.
I was also a receiver. Yeah, in that particular game, I threw some passes. So I ended up with like 15 catches for like 260 and four touchdowns receiving. I threw the ball three times for 60 yards and a touchdown, and then I kicked like three extra points.
I love it.
Now,
I love it.
You'd say, well, that was fun, college, whatever. Nate, true or false, you were the emergency quarterback with your time with the Broncos.
I was. I was the emergency quarterback one season as well as the emergency kicker. So if things had gotten really, really bad for us, you would have seen me out there taking snaps and trying to put it through the uprights.
So what
does that look like when you're the emergency quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, dude, my career, I can't recall like ever allowing an emergency quarterback to have reps during practice. Like, when did you even practice it?
So it was actually kind of funny because, like, one day in particular, so receivers have good arms, right? Because we run so many routes, they throw us the ball downfield, we catch it, we got to throw it back. So I had a pretty good arm, and I remember one practice in particular, like, I caught a deep ball, and then I slung it back, and Shanahan was standing right there, and he saw it, and he looked at the throw, then he looked at me, and then after practice, he's like, I think actually Pat McPherson said, yeah, coach wants you to take some snaps, just in case. So, I took some snaps, and it's kind of the same process happened with special teams. I told Scotty, our special teams coach, that I could kick, and he made me prove it one day after practice, and I did. And so he said, all right, if things go haywire, you're our guy.
Nice.
That is amazing. Would you study things? Would you really?
No. This was like, so if you got to go on a quarterback, it's like, hand off left, hand off right. Can you do that? You know?
Okay.
And if need be, maybe a three-step drop and throw a slant or a three-step drop, throw a hitch,
probably not.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably not.
But that would be, I mean, hey, if we needed to score, Tyler,
Let me ask you this. Do you think you could do the things that you see Taysom Hill doing?
Well, Taysom Hill is a different kind of athlete, of course. But, yeah, every receiver thinks he could be a quarterback and because he's athletic enough to move and run. He can throw the ball, and he's got a lot of confidence, you know. So yeah, I could have been a great quarterback. I probably still would have been playing if I had played quarterback.
Ooh,
it's
nice.
Just that just was.
You like that, Tyler?
Yeah, buddy.
What do you think of Taysom Hill then and how he's being used and who he is?
So a really interesting case. I mean, the guy is, 30 years old, right?
Oh, I don't know. Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's 30 years old, and he was drafted in 2017. So he had a rather unorthodox, you know, mission, no pun intended, to get to the NFL because he was by BYU, and he was like a 23-year-old freshman, I think. And so, yeah, man, I mean, he's really talented physically, obviously a threat to do pretty much anything on the field. But it's funny when you compare the two quarterbacks who are playing in this game. Drew Locke actually has more experience than this guy under center in the NFL. So it should be interesting to see what happens.
Well, what did you think of him last week? I mean, he was 18 of 23, very efficient.
But,
you know, they threw a couple ducks out there at the same time. I mean, what was your overall evaluation of him as a quarterback?
Yeah, dynamic but inconsistent. You know, just I think a product of not having a lot of experience and being super comfortable, like you said, threw some bad balls, but obviously can throw the ball well. And so, really, if he can get his feet underneath him and see what he needs to see in front of him, then I'm sure he can deliver dimes. But I think Vic Fangio is probably pretty excited about this matchup. I mean, I think he's going to come after him like he did Tua and try to confuse him, and I think it could work.
Will we have a Nate Jackson song this week, or is the Thanksgiving holiday going to get in the way?
Yeah, geez, man. It's a little bit in the way right now. I'm going to try to pull it together, but you guys are not going to be at work on Friday.
We're not.
Me and John are. We're going to be in those seats during this time. So maybe we're just going to do like a four-hour jam, man. We'll just make it a musical show.
Nice. You have a pick for this weekend? Because this is the last time we'll talk to you. I know it's kind of weird this early, but you got a pick?
It's a little early, man. I'm still crunching the numbers and looking at the data, you know, working the probabilities. But, I think it's going to be a good game. I think, Saints have won, seven in a row or something like that? But, yeah, I think they're beatable. I do think they're beatable. The question is, what Broncos team's going to show up? Is it going to be the Broncos team we just saw or the one that we saw play the Raiders?
All right, Nate, we look forward to the song. If it comes, happy Thanksgiving. It's Nate Jackson, courtesy of the Dadvocates. I tell you what, you've been waiting for it. Be caller 4 right now, 303-713-1043, and you get a $100 gift card to Old Chicago. Hella Poppin' Pizza. They're currently open for takeout and delivery, so there you go. Great question, Tyler. Will the Broncos be able to match up? Should Vic Fangio be excited? It is a What to Know Wednesday. We break it down next.